Hi friends, I'm Ron, announcing the imminent arrival of Eternal Originator's Empire. I will read Supreme's inspired writings translated into American English at my site waldoreedy.com and comment. I am waldoreedy@gmail.com. Originator Liberator's timetable is critical for us now through 2028. The end of this society is dead ahead of us. The coming wonderful future world is at hand. Today is June 5th, 2026. According to the inspired solar lunar calendar, it is Sivan 20, 57, 87. Now we are finished with Jeremiah, so we are continuing at this time with the book of Ezekiel, and in Ezekiel 1, we see that this man named Ezekiel, that's a phonetic word. His name meant most powerful strengthens. He was a worship server in the temple, although that was all ended. So he had a new job. And as we see in these beginning chapters here, he was sent to the exiles at the rivers of Sist. And they were given some information that they had not learned in the past 133 years since they had been in captivity. That is, Israel was the kingdom to the north, Judah was the kingdom to the south, and was just going into captivity, as we saw at the end of Jeremiah here. Excuse me, I'm still suffering health issues. So he starts out by explaining what he's doing. And we read in verse 1 of chapter 2, he conveyed to me, that is magnificent originator, conveyed to me earthling's son. He called him earthling's son. Isn't that interesting? The word earthling here, you'll probably recognize the phonetic word is Adam. That's not the name of someone, that just means earthling. So his name was earthling. Earthling's son, and that's what Ezekiel was called, earthling's son. He was a descendant of the first created human. You must stand on your feet, I will state to you. And so he went through. In verse 3, he conveyed to me, earthling son, I send you to most powerful prevail sons, to the rebelling ethnic groups who rebelled against me. He sent them to these people who hadn't learned a lesson in the last 133 years, and they wouldn't learn a lesson for centuries following. They still haven't learned a lesson. They still stand with severe judgment in the offing and their death. That means 90% of this nation will be dead in the next couple years or so. They and their papas have revolted against me to this day. Verse 4, the sons are obstinate of faces and violent of heart. I send you to them. So Ezekiel went up there. There was Jeremiah who stayed with the rebellious Jews in Jerusalem, who went down to Egypt and died there. And he then came back. He and the king's daughters went to North Ireland. That's the conclusion of the previous document that we read. So going on in verse 4, he said, you must tell them my controller, that is Adonai. My controller, most powerful originator, that is Yahweh, conveys this. Whether they will heed or desist, they are a rebellious house. That's what we are. That's how you know where Israel is. They will know a presenter has been among them. Well, it goes on to conclude in this chapter what his job would be and how difficult this assignment really was. So he was prepared to do this, but it was probably very difficult for him through the time that he spent there. And I'm not going to read these chapters. Let's go to verse 15. He said, I came to the exiles at Barley's Hill, those living at Subsist River. I sat. They had settled down there. I lived among them 7 days, stunned. And then it happened at the end of 7 days that the originator told him what to say to these people about how evil they were and how guilty they were and how deserving of death. And they'd better change or they would die. You know, that same message is still valid for us today. I usually give it at the end of the podcast, at least a brief summary of it. So it's interesting. Verse 23 said, I got up and went out to the plain. I noticed magnificent originator stood there, like splendor. This is describing the supreme, the most powerful. I saw by Sunset River. So he noticed magnificent originator. He saw him by Subsist River. I think that is phonetically kibar. I fell on my face. Anyway, it goes through to the end of this chapter and describes all this rebellion. Then it gets into chapter 4, and it's discussing 390 days and 40 days. 390 days for Israel, 40 days for Judah, and those different times have played out in recent years. You may not have understood that, and I'm not sure that I do have a podcast available at my site. I think I did a podcast that was available at another site. So that was the most popular site for podcasts. I don't know why I'm having trouble remembering the name of that site right now, but I should have it coming to memory here. And Spotify, there it is. My memory doesn't work anymore, so you may have to wait a few years for me to remember something and get a point across to you. But if you're patient, I'll get there. So here he says, I forgot what I was doing at this point. Verse 12, chapter 4, you must eat a disc of barley. You must, bake a disc for their eyes with the earthling's fecal excrement. Wow. I think we like to flush the toilet and not perceive any fecal excrement, let alone eat it. Verse 13, originator, this is eternal originator now. I've got to make a correction, so I'm going to have to take time to do it here. Okay. Wow. I even have to correct the correction. So, you know, I have very serious problems with dexterity, mental and physical problems that probably are not really that delightful to you. Eternal originator conveys, so will most powerful prevail sons. That's Israel phonetically. Eat their defiled food there among the ethnic groups where I thrust them. This was to show us just exactly what is coming in the very near future, because we have been displeasing him and we are going to be put into some awful conditions as a result. We need to get our lives straightened out and choose life. I guess we should get our deaths straightened out because we're choosing death and begin to choose life. In verse 15, though, he backed off of that. He said, he conveyed to me, "You will see, I will give cattle manure instead of human feces for you to eat." Anyway, I'm sure that's distasteful to you, but I wonder if you understand what it means to you and to me. Here in chapter 5 is a very interesting chapter because this is what's happening to us right now. Verse 1, "Earthling son, you must take a sharp knife for you. You must take the barber's razor for you. Shave your head as well as your beard. Take balances of weight for you and divide them. You must burn a third with fire in the city center according to the seed stage being completed." That's death by one means. "To another third, strike all around it with a knife and scatter another third in the wind." So here's a third by war, a third by starvation, disease, and a third going off into captivity. "I will draw out sword after them." And then he says something very interesting. This is talking about the approximately 20,000 increasing now for his people that he is working with, men, women, and children. This is the sum total of it for the last about 3,000 years. "From there, take few in number. You must secure them in your extremities." So put them in your pocket. "You must," verse 4, "take from them again." Do this a second time. "Throw them in the center of the fire and burn them in the fire." So they're going to die from war and scarcity and disease. These are those that are beyond the 20,000 that are not really redeemable. I think the totals would be up around 30,000, and I'm dividing it to 10 here and 20 there, if you understand what I'm conveying about this. "Fire will come out from it to all most powerful prevails house." That's all Israel. We need to understand what he's talking about because this is dead ahead of us right now. I put this verse 5, success, legacy, and ethnic groups, geopolitical center, and land surrounding her. She rebelled against my ethics with wrong more than ethnic groups and my directives more than land surrounding her. They have rejected my ethics. They have not gone in my directives. So we have a horrible consequence from thousands of years ago. This is roughly 2,500 years ago that he wrote these things. "Because you murmured more than the ethnic groups that are among you and went not in the directives nor kept my directives, practicing according to ethics of ethnic groups surrounding you." We followed the pagans. We followed idolatry. We followed immorality. You know, sex without marriage. Not marriage and family, just sex with whomever, whatever. That's what we do today, isn't it? It's been going on for thousands of years. The whole world is a horrible mess, a very evil mess. Verse 9, "I will accomplish with you what I have not accomplished and will not accomplish the like again for all your disgusting customs." So he's going to, you know, what shall we say, knock the crap out of us? Yes, he's going to get it out of our heads. He's going to get us straightened out so we're clear on what he says is what we must do. Anyway, we must understand the seriousness of what Ezekiel is writing here. He says in verse 11, "My eye will not have compassion, I will not spare." Who do we think Supreme is anyway? Do we think he's some old fogey up in the attic? We're crazy if we do. He is eternal. He is eternally young. He is magnificent, beautiful. He is outstanding and powerful. He is the greatest. So verse 12 of Ezekiel 5, a third of you will die with disease and cease with scarcity among you. A third of you will fall with swords surrounding you. I will scatter a third of you to every wind, that is captivity. I will draw out sword after them. My nose will cease, I will rest my hot displeasure with them. He is never angry, but his nose is bent out of shape. His hot displeasure is against us, really against our evil. I will console myself. They will know that I, originator, stated it in my zeal to cease my hot displeasure with them. So he loves us. And when you love someone, you do punish them. You do deal with them. It's just the way a loving father is. All right, verse 17, I will send miserable scarcity and animals on you. They will bereave you. Disease and floods will pass through you. I, originator, have stated, I will bring sword on you. That's war. That's imminent war that is coming against us as the people, the English-speaking people are the main group of nations that have been the northern group of Israel's kingdom, as opposed to the southern group of Judah's kingdom, which is four nations that were much more pleasing, not spiritually, but much more pleasing in every way. Okay, now we get into chapter 6 and we see that your images will be eradicated. He hates the images, the pictures, the statues, all the idolatry that we just hold on to and cling to like it's really great. He says in verse 11, alas for all the evil, disgusting customs, the most powerful prevails house. We are certainly doomed because we have embraced idolatry and immorality worse than probably anything else in the world among the nations. So you can go on and read, like in chapter 7, he speaks in verse 7, the day of trouble is near. He goes on in many details that will probably interest you if you read this in the correct translation at my site. The time period, verse 12, will come. The day approaches. So we see all of these expressions, these piquant phrases that he uses, that he was inspired to use, just like Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel were inspired to use. Adroitly by Supreme. So we read in verse 19. This is one thing that I do quote quite frequently, not by chapter and verse. They will throw their silver into the streets. Do you know you can't eat gold and silver? Their gold will become impurity. Yeah, it's pretty valuable right now, isn't it? It has no value because you can't eat it. We won't be able to find food or buy food. Their silver and their gold cannot preserve them. There's no salvation in money. In day of originator's outpouring, you know, when he pours out his wrath, if we want to call it that, his displeasure with us, we will have to learn lessons or we will die. So they will not satisfy their person or fill their bowels. The rubies, the diamonds, the gold, the silver will all be worth throwing out in the street. Their guilt will be a stumbling occasion. And in verse 20, we read, they fashioned images of their disgusting customs. Yeah, Christmas and Easter are big for us, and we really do a lot of imagery with that. I gave them to impurity, that is immorality. Any idolatry is impure. Any immorality is filth, as far as he is concerned. And it should be for us too. So he speaks of murder and violence and all sorts of evil. Verse 26, disaster will come on disaster. We're seeing that right now, and it's going to get worse daily. Speculation will follow speculation. A lot of rumors, a lot of ideas. They will seek revelation from presenter. No, there's no real spiritual leader. Direction will vanish from religious leaders. They are misleaders, of course, and counsel from elders. Ruler will mourn, the leader will wear devastation, hands of the people of the land will tremble. And Supreme says, I will ethically manage them with their ethics. They will know I am his originator. So here we are in the various chapters now that continue through Ezekiel. In chapter 8, it's especially evil. It's basically a summation of the Easter paganism that permeates the world, really, but especially the English-speaking peoples. These are the evil ones discussing customs that they practice here. And it's so stipulated, so we know. We don't accept. That's not our problem. That's going to be our death. So verse 14 says, there I saw women weeping for a true son, that is Tammuz. That's not supreme or finite supreme. That is utter pagan nonsense and lies. And that's what it all boils down to, totally evil. Do we even begin to comprehend how evil we are? How disgusting, how revolting. How so far gone we are. Now we get to chapter 10, and it's sort of a, well, it's like a remake of chapter 1. It's not exactly a repeat, but it does show some important things there. That's very important for us to understand. In no uncertain terms about Supreme. The term Shaddai is used here, El Shaddai, meaning most powerful, my destroyer, preeminent, infinite, dynamic, self-sufficient, rainmaker. This is describing eternal source of food. It is vital that we understand this is one of the oldest terms that describes Supreme. And it is a powerful, powerful description that we must learn and know and grasp fully if we're going to get to know Supreme and all of his values and ethics and who he is and what he wants us to be. So chapter 10 is very interesting. As are each one of these chapters, I'm not going to go through them. I think what we need to do is just read them and grasp what is going on here, especially in chapters 11 and 12. He further discusses the immediate, terrifying problems that are ahead for the United States and the United Kingdom. Both of these chapters are talking about us. We are, the English-speaking peoples are, two of the nations of Israel. And they're the dominant nations right now. Okay, well, I think that'll be enough for us here at this time. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to continue on with the 12, if you know what that is. That's 12 that are short, brief documents of presenters. And then I'm going to go with Daniel. I'm not sure what I'll do first, but that's basically where I'm headed with all of this. And I wanted to just briefly cover Ezekiel. I know Isaiah covered in more depth, and so did Jeremiah. I covered that in more depth. But you can read this, and you'll see from the translations the very clear, understandable meaning of what this is. So what I'm going to do now is conclude here by saying we must flee idolatry, immorality, lying, coveting, stealing. That's what Ezekiel was showing. And I'll continue to discuss the world events and explain that we must be being renovated or we will die. Friends, I hope you'll choose life.